So this audio is part of the audio commentary for the book I'm writing. The working title is Visionary Heart, Bringing Down My Walls, Standing for My People. This is Michael Skye, and the story I want to tell today, which if it gets included in the book, it'll only be part of this story. Story about a young man who I took in. He worked for me when I had a landscaping business back in the 90s. And he was a young man with a scar that ran from, you know, all the way down his face, down the middle of his face, and down the middle of his body. Derek had been chased by the cops when he was 16. I forget the circumstances, but he had ran from the cops and he had drove his truck off of a bridge, and the truck went face down into the, you know, into the ground. And Derek had gone through the windshield and it had split his body open. He actually died, but they brought him back to life at the hospital, I believe. And I hired Derek to work for me when he was about 24. This was a time when I was, I had run a landscaping business and had brought my younger brothers into the business and had had this amazing year of transforming their lives by, you know, giving them everything that, I don't know, that an older brother, a father, a grandfather, the elders want to give to young men, you know. What I did with my brothers that year was so powerful and so fulfilling, and I gave them everything I could as far as being a man, being a powerful man in the world. And so this story happens about a year to two after that, and I had returned to start another landscaping business, and one of the young men I hired was Derek. And Derek was an interesting guy. We would pull up at a house to do a landscaping project. At the time, we were mostly mowing lawns back then. We had a formula for making money, which had to do with pretty much just sticking to lawn service. And it was all about efficiency and the numbers and, you know, narrowing the neighborhoods and all that. So, I remember this one day we, pulled up at a house and we had a crew of three, and you know, Derek, we all have our assigned duties. Everything runs like clockwork. I really ran my business like a military, institution back in the day. And part of it was for the training of the young men. And, you know, everything is split up so everyone knows their duties, and we all make it back to the truck at about the same time. Well, Derek, it was time to go, and you know, we were honking the horn for Derek, and you know, wondering where he was. And he came out of someone else's backyard. He had completely done his piece of work in someone else's backyard and not paid any attention to it. Derek had a little bit of brain damage. I don't know the extent. He was, you know, he was mostly together, but an extremely hard worker. And he may have been on drugs at the time of the story I just relayed. But the guys who worked the hardest for me when I had this business turned out to be guys who, I guess, they really couldn't get jobs elsewhere. Oftentimes, these were ex-cons. These were drug addicts. And, you know, Derek's intensely hard work may have been related to, you know, being on drugs. I'm not sure, actually. I was quite naive at the time. One day, Derek didn't show up to work, and one of my guys said, you know, Mike, he's downtown. He's buying crack. And I said, what? And they said, yeah, you know, they said they went looking for him, and they found him downtown by the police station. They gave me the general area, so I jumped in my van, and I went to, you know, I went to save Derek. And I remember finding him and approaching him and trying to get him to come and work that day, you know, to come back to work. And he was fiending for crack. And there was nothing I could say to him. There was nothing I could do, you know. I even tried physically to encourage him to come. And there was nothing I could do. There was another instance where the same guy alerted me, hey, you know, I think Derek's gone to buy crack. And, you know, I had taken a number of these young guys in, and the hours were so intense. Sometimes some of these guys lived with me in my apartment. But it was late one night, and he said, you know, Derek's just left. I think he's gone to buy crack. And so we went, this guy who told me was a big guy, also had his own problems with drugs. But we brought him back in and physically were insisting that he log into rehab. And he begged and pleaded and managed to convince us that he wanted to go to Houston, where his mother lived, to go to rehab. And we called her. She said yes, she would watch him, everything would be okay. And I'm just thinking that I've tried not to mix my stories up here, but we relented. We let Derek go to Houston. And a couple weeks later, it was a phone call from his mother. And she said that Derek had been killed. And we learned that there had been that he had not checked into rehab. His mother had wanted to keep him there at the house and watch over him, or he hadn't wanted to go. I don't know what it was. And we had further insisted that, you know, look, this is serious. He really needs to be in rehab. He's going to do whatever he needs to do to get these drugs. Anyway, what had happened is cops had apparently seen what they thought looked like a drug deal. Derek in his truck had picked up a guy from the side of the street who was maybe, I guess, assumed to be a drug dealer. Then, and then had let the guy out, and the cops had tried to, you know, put on their lights and started chasing Derek. Derek, again, with brain damage and, you know, his experience at 16 years old, I'm guessing just instinctively he ran again and turned into a chase. It came out later that the Houston police officers violated a number of their Harris County police officers violated quite a number of their own codes of conduct, and, you know, endangered people by escalating the situation where there was no, you know, there was no inherent threat. So they chased Derek, and at this point they're all wired up. He's probably, you know, all excited on adrenaline. He pulls over the side of the highway, and there's maybe half a dozen cop cars that surround him. And at this point, the stories vary on what happened, but what's true is that Derek had no weapon. All they could find in his truck was a can opener, and cops had said that they thought that he had a weapon or something like that. And, they fired 59 rounds, and they put 14 They put 14 bullets through Derek. And took his life. he wasn't firing back 59 rounds. And his mother went on to try to find some kind of justice, but the cops kept their jobs. They basically got a slap on the wrist and went back to work. There are more, there are so many citizens who get killed by police in Harris County that it's not funny. And one of the things that I want to do with my work is address these issues among men, these issues of honor and brotherhood and respect and anger. And my passion is especially for fatherless men, men who don't have fathers or a father figure in their life, like Derek, and men who have felt violated by older men, in this case, the police, the first time that he was chased, and then the second time, then they took his life, and the natural distrust that forms, and the fear that forms, and the, yeah. So I'm sharing this story as part of the audio commentary that I'm making for my book. I'm writing my book of my stories that underlie my work and my, the grief that is inside of me and the anger that is inside of me, the passion that is inside of me to do the work that I do. And, I'm working on completing this book and self-publishing it. And I have an Indiegogo campaign to raise money. We've just opened a second Indiegogo campaign to raise money. I invite you, if you feel called to do so, to make a contribution to the campaign. You can pre-order a copy of the book, a signed copy of the book. You can contribute, you know, for $35, the perk you'll get is the ebook and the audio commentary. And you can donate as much as you like or as little as you like, and I'll be grateful. So this is just a little sample of the audio commentary. Thank you for listening, and hopefully I'll get to see you at one of my live events.